Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
What's Trending?
What's Trending is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive since 1942. Telly certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one is some news in the college football world. Pete Thamel reporting here in the last half hour that Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule has signed a 2-year contract extension, which will take him through the 2032 season. Includes a $15 million buyout this year. Now, Thamel says that effectively eliminates him from any jobs this coaching cycle. Now, I would agree, it's pretty unlikely. Now, if he was actually offered one of the top jobs that's available, I don't think $15 million is preventing anybody from leaving a school these days.
$50 million for someone to leave.
But I would agree that if he's signing the extension now, it seems very unlikely that he's going to leave. He's only 18-15 at Nebraska. Now, he's done a great job, but he's only 3 games above 500 at Nebraska. But that's another name potentially out of the running for some of these jobs. As someone, you know, was discussing on Twitter a second ago, back and forth with, you know, if you're Missouri, when do they have to try to start working on something to make sure that Eli Drinkwitz isn't going anywhere?
I'll tell you right now, I'd be very concerned if I were Missouri and I approached him and be like, hey, we'd like to look at maybe giving you a contract extension. He's like, oh, we can talk about it after the year. Like, but Drink, why? I would be very worried. I told you earlier, Missouri's going to have to fight to keep Drinkwitz as their coach, just like Nebraska had to fight a little bit. That's what usually like this.
Are we sure Penn State's a school to worry about? I wouldn't be worried about Penn State.
No, I wouldn't be worried about Florida.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that yet. After What's Trending, let's get into more like the trickle-out effect and who the heck is Penn State going to go after now, if in fact this means Matt Rhule is not going to get hired.
Next up on What's Trending, the Blue Jays take a 3-2 series lead in the World Series over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Trey Savage was incredible in that game. 11 strikeouts, a rookie record for a postseason start, a rookie record obviously for the World Series, tied the postseason start in, was better in the rookie. It was the first guy since Don, I can't remember who it was now. It goes way back in the day. It was like the 50s, the last time a rookie had 11 strikeouts in a game. Pretty incredible so far. Blue Jays just one game away from winning the World Series. We'll head back to Toronto. That series starting up again Friday night.
I still think the Dodgers at least get it to 7. And if they do, then the Blue Jays are in trouble kind of thing. It feels like
you can get them in like 2-1 to win it.
I like it. Shohei, we were talking before the show, plus 250 still to win MVP if you think they can come back and win it. Although Vladdy is the favorite right now because the Blue Jays are up
winning
in
the series. And he's hit a bunch of homers. He's good.
Next on What's Trending, the Washington Nationals are hiring Blake Butera, who is just 33 years old, to be their next manager. He'll be the youngest MLB manager in more than a half century. A lot of the conversation around this hire feels the reaction like when Sean McVay at age 32 was hired by the Rams. Remember when everybody was like, what are they? You know, everybody's like, what are you doing? This guy's 32. What, you know, does he really have the chops to be a head coach and all that? And we all know it worked out pretty well for Sean McVay. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to work out for Blake Butera, a completely different sport. But he has been a manager in the minors for about 4 or 5 years. He's been a manager since he was 25. He was part of the Rays developmental side of things, which they have a great track record there. Interesting hire. Out of the box hire? Why not? Honestly, if you're the Nationals.
I think because you have all of the things you have at your disposal now when it comes to analytics. Like, for instance, Q doesn't just make all the lineups himself and decide who's going to hit leadoff, second, third, whatever. He has a team of people assisting with those decisions. Some of these decisions are made before you even step foot on a baseball diamond. I don't know. It seems like it's been the young former player thing, former catcher thing has been very common. This doesn't surprise me that somebody would hire a 33-year-old to be their manager. Doesn't work out. You'll probably go the old guy retread version. I actually like this better than just, what have we got? Ron Washington. You know, like how it works. And sometimes that works too. But in baseball, it's either the 80-year-old guy or the young former player. In this case, they're going.
We've seen it a couple times this cycle. I mean, Kurt Suzuki.
Young minor league coach.
Got hired by the Angels. Now, he's not 32 years old, but he's also not what you were describing. And so we'll see how it works out for the Nationals.
Lastly, on what's trending, according to reports, the famed Jim Irsay collection will go up for sale. He once claimed he would get over $1 billion for it. He was offered $1 billion for it. It is a massive pop culture collection that includes guitars, sports memorabilia, and a million other things. Obviously, he passed last year. His entire collection is going to go up for auction, I imagine, pieced out. So we'll see what kind of cool stuff he had. What do you think?
It is cool. I thought it was interesting that Adam Schefter was the one that, like,
hey, he's a bit of a shill.
Reported the news on it. But yeah, it is cool.
He has the original, all kinds of random stuff. He has the original typed manuscript for On the Road, a Jack Kerouac novel, which is bleak as hell, by the way, if you've never read it.
I have not.
It's dark. He has multiple Jerry Garcia's custom Tiger guitar, all kinds of stuff, man. Just imagine, like, whatever you know, you would own if you just had infinite amount of money, like entire Ringo Starr drum sets. It's a wild collection, so it'll go up for auction some point later this year.
All right, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We will talk a little fantasy football in 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes with Paul Charchian of fantasy expert here on the show. I want to make sure we find out who we should be starting tonight, Thursday Night Football, Ravens, Dolphins, and of course heading into Week 9, navigating some of the bye weeks as well. We'll get into all 32 in a second, but I want to pick up where Drew had mentioned where things are at with Penn State. So Matt Rhule gets an extension today from Nebraska. I do think that, and maybe you guys disagree, the $15 million buyout, I don't think is like an automatic, like there's no chance he'll get hired anywhere over the next couple years. It's not a high buyout number compared to, that's what's insane. It's not viewed as high as some of the other. However, the fact that he was willing to sign it tells you that either A, he's not interested in Penn State, or they weren't interested in him. And for the time being, I do think he's staying at Nebraska. And Matt Rhule, to me, was never going to be a candidate at LSU. So it was Penn State or stay at Nebraska. And maybe he found out that Penn State wasn't going to offer or whatever. So Nebraska retains Matt Rhule. They should be happy about that, although he's just 18-5 as their head coach. But I don't think you want to be competing in the coaching cycle this go around if you were Nebraska, if you would have lost Matt Rhule. Where does Penn State go? Where does Penn State go from here if, in fact, Matt Rhule doesn't leave now?
Some of the favorites, Joe Brady's name has been mentioned. Okay.
Is he going from the NFL? He might get an NFL job. He's going to go take Penn State, Joe Brady?
Well, he could be a head coach.
Jeff Brom at Louisville. Mm-hmm. He's doing a really nice job. Those are the two of the names that have been mentioned.
Does that excite anybody? Oh, gosh.
Jeff Brom's been really good at Louisville, though. I think that he might end up being the guy that goes. Because
they're having a great year.
Because if you're Penn State, like, this is, I think, where you mess around and you find out the grass isn't always greener, or for the coaches that you want. Like, oh, we'd love to have this guy. Well, they're not interested in you. Sorry, because they think their program is better. They're in a better spot. Nebraska, I thought Matt Rhule is a bad option anyways, but the relationship there made some sense. But he's like, oh, I'm going to stay. It feels like Penn State is not going to be scrambling necessarily, but with other rumors that James Franklin could take the Virginia Tech job, where they're in the same recruiting area as well, he could be taking Penn State's recruits. It's like Penn State's going to find out quickly whether or not they made the right decision. And as of right now, it doesn't seem like they
feels
did
like when,
because
like,
they're
Texas,
taking a
like,
step back.
When Texas in basketball let go of Rick Barnes, I don't care when the Titans fired Mike Vrabel, you seem to think there's like some hidden secret unlockable super coach. And it's like, no, sometimes being just really good is not that worse. It's only, but it's still like the third best job, right? It's only behind LSU in Florida, right?
Yeah.
It's better than Arkansas or Oklahoma State or UCLA or any of these other jobs that are available. It's, I mean, it's better than those. So I would still think they'd get a name. Maybe it's just not Matt Rhule anymore.
Then you got LSU, the governor of Louisiana yesterday.
Oh, this guy.
The governor of Louisiana yesterday holding a press conference, basically saying they're going to eventually, you know, fire the AD. Like, we're not letting the school's AD hire the coach. He, the governor of the state said, yeah. No, not a...
I got to say, not, that ain't great. Well, I mean, what's the governor know more about football than an athletic director?
Yeah.
And I don't know the governor, but like, you know, I don't know his football knowledge.
Only in college football, man.
Yeah, but it, a governor is, would be like, we're making this.
Well, the crazy thing, he actually maybe has grounds to, not that this is like the right decision, but in fairness, this athletic director hired Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. Some would say that didn't work out. Most would say that.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that hired Brian Kelly. Most would say that didn't work out either. So in fairness, there's, I guess, some, there's an ounce of some logic in there as to why he's not letting him make the decision on the hire, but it is kind of goofy to hear the athletic director is not making the hire.
I think this is the way college football works. If you're Missouri and you're serious about staying where you are, you want to keep Eli Drinkwitz, you offer him an extension today. You offer him a larger buyout.
Does he want to talk about that, though, is the question.
Right now, because your only other hope if you're Missouri is you pray Lane Kiffin gets the Florida job. Because I would think Eli Drinkwitz is a pretty solid backup option for them if they couldn't land someone like Kiffin. Because I think that Drinkwitz got to be pretty high on their list of potential candidates. Because as Drew mentioned, it's Kiffin. The big names in college that are already in college are Kiffin, Drinkwitz, Brom, and then SMU's coach, right? Doesn't he get mentioned in some of this too?
Used to, not anymore.
Okay. I was like, I was trying to remember.
John Sumrall is the name to know for that Louisiana job because he coaches Tulane. He's in that area, New Orleans. He's very, very good, and he's been in the SEC country like his entire
New Orleans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's the name to watch for that LSU job.
Do you think, though, if you're Eli, of course, they all have agents, so a lot of them have the same agent, and so there's a lot of leveraging going on with this kind of stuff. Clearly, Nebraska thought there was a real chance that Matt Rhule was going to leave, so in comes an extension. If you're Drinkwitz, if you want to stay at Missouri, no matter what, you're still going to have your agent play the game behind the scenes to try to make sure it appears that you might be willing to take a job to get leverage, therefore to get a raise. But also, there's always a chance, like, is he willing to leave? And if so, there's a lot of reasons why an extension may not come until the end of the season if you're Missouri towards Eli. Both sides have to want to sign him. Matt Rhule, clearly, you know, they were one on their side, Nebraska, fearful he was going to leave. On the other side, Matt Rhule had some interest in staying in Nebraska, hence an extension happens. If you're Missouri, you have to have some real concern that he's leaving. And if you're Eli, you have to have a real interest in staying in Missouri obviously for an extension to happen as well.
I would say if I'm Eli, if I'm guaranteed an extension, which means it's a lot harder to get rid of me or I get a lot more money if they do get rid of me, it'd be pretty tempting. Still going to coach in the SEC. Still going to recruit an SEC school. Like, there are much worse jobs to just stay in than Missouri. No,
he's recruiting at a crazy level right now.
Yeah, I'd be pretty tempted. They got to solve quarterback, obviously, next year again. But if you're not looking at those things, like, it's still a favorable job. But look, if Florida offered me the job, I'm gone. That's why, if I were Eli, I'd be real careful about signing the extension.
That's why I think the Florida and LSU jobs are the one to watch out for, not Penn State, because he can stay in the same area. He's a great recruiter. Those are obviously hotbeds. Like, Louisiana's underrated. Florida, obviously, is Florida.
I just don't feel like I've heard his name near Penn State at all. So, like, I guess if I'm Missouri, I'm not really worried about them.
It's been the Florida job.
Yeah, I haven't heard his name anywhere near that.
I do think, to your point, I think Lane Kiffin's waiting until the end of the season. So Drinkwitz will have, even if he wanted the job, he'd have to wait because Kiffin's first in line and then...
I think so.
And then Coach Drinkwitz will be next.
I think there's just a little more pedigree and assurance that... I you know, like 20 years ago, this has been really funny, but Lane Kiffin's proven that he's going to win most places he goes. Like, Lane Kiffin's coached at four. If he takes a job at Florida, he would have coached at four different Power Four programs. So like, he can win at some spots, right? People are willing to hire him. It's just a whether Florida thinks they can do better, but... Look, teams make these mistakes all the time, so we'll see if this actually plays out. Penn State's going to be the one where they're like, oops, did we downgrade? Yeah. The only thing you got to do is not play yourself out of the national picture.
Yeah. Before we move on, the Matt Rhule thing, I'll still, like, Pete Thamble tweeted it again. I I don't think a $15 million buyout is that large of a number. Like, it's not an automatic never leaving Nebraska type thing. That's all. Cignetti's buyout is way more than what they just added to Matt Rule's contract in Nebraska.
Yeah, like, what's Lance Leipold's buyout?
It's not 20-something million.
So, I mean, you know, for comparison, Lance Leipold's buyout's the same as Matt Rule's? That's a gettable buyout. They gave him the raise to be like, please don't leave. But they're trying to assure that if Matt Rule did take the job, they'd still get a little cash.
I think Matt Rule also knows, too, like, what he's done. It's not... Maybe he wasn't actually a realistic guy for the Penn State job outside of just the connection where it's like, hey, man, you've dipped after 3 years of every job that you've had. You haven't stuck around to show that you can win at a good enough pace for us to commit to you as Penn State in that program. Maybe that's part of the reasoning is, hey, let's help you out. You can also help us out by continuing some good coaching here, and let's just see where this thing goes. And if it works out where you get to go somewhere else, then they pay you us $15 million.
I will say that Jeff Brohm, I mean, it's not like he's staying everywhere either. I mean, he was at Purdue for five. He's been at Louisville for two.
Yeah, very much so the same.
You know, he's not, I just don't think, unless you're already at the top job, I mean, a lot of guys aren't staying past 3 or 4 years, you know? They're always looking to move up.
It is interesting. It feels like college football shifted the last 2 years where, like, Vanderbilt bringing up their program. Like, for all we know, like, you probably can't stay in at Vandy, but Clark Lee's proven that at this point, to this rate, he has. Kurt Cignetti, the same thing. Matt Rule's having a really good season with Dylan Raiola. Maybe things continue to go there. But it feels like we're having that shift where now that NIL and resources have all been pooled in and teams are committing to them and boosters are committing to them, coaches are more willing to stay. And just because it's a big name doesn't mean that it's a better spot necessarily, you know?
Do a little all 32. You want to start us off, Gold?
I will start us off. We have a debut of a quarterback this weekend in the NFL. Nobody's really talking about it. It's fine. He's in New Orleans.
He's a top 40 pick.
Tyler Shough. He's 26 years old already. This just feels like a placeholder, barring a great run the rest of the season. The Saints have a first-year head coach in Kellen Moore, and this totally feels like, all right, Spencer Rattler, probably we're going to pull you earlier in the season, but you played well enough. We gave you almost half the year, but we want to see what we have in Tyler Shough. Most people don't think much of him, but we'll see. And if he's great, then it changes their draft plan. Otherwise, it's very simple. We already would know they have answers on Rattler. They would have answers on Tyler Shough, and they will be able to draft a quarterback, and they will likely pick in the top three or top five will the New Orleans Saints in the 2026 draft, where there's going to be, I don't know, six quarterbacks people. It's way too early, but some people think six quarterbacks taken. I don't know if that's the case. We're way too far out.
Yeah.
But there's a ton of names. Ty Simpson is the current favorite to be the number one overall pick. Shout out to him at Alabama.
I guess the way I view this, and this is the issue I guess I have with it, is if they always thought he was an instant replacement guy, why the hell did you take the 40th overall selection? Other than just bad franchises do stupid things, which is certainly an answer you're allowed to give in this scenario. But outside of that, why did you spend a top 40 pick on a quarterback if you're not even going to give them any kind of chance? They gave Spencer Rattler at least a season and a third, and they took him in the third round.
New regime.
And I get it. But also, like, the new regime took Tyler Shough. So, like, they're on paper of saying, we think this guy's good. This goes back to my old, like, if a quarterback's over 25, I just borderline think they're undraftable. Like, they would just be off of my board almost. He's three full years older than Drake May. May could play three Pro Bowl seasons and be Tyler Shuck's age. Like, what are you doing? If this works out, you're paying him his first contract when he's 30?
Yeah, that's why he was drafted.
Maybe
as
five
late
more
as he
years?
Was.
Ugh. Yep. I mean, not that late. 40. I just think if you're over 26, nowhere before the third round.
I remember around the draft, the people said if he wasn't that age, that there was a lot of talk that suddenly he would have been a late first round pick.
Oh, you think so?
If he was 23 years old. Now, I have never watched this kid play football in my life. All right. So I have no idea what he is necessarily capable of. But the common thought in New Orleans is he's going to play half the year, not going to look great, and then they'll just draft somebody. But like, maybe he surprises us and he looks awesome, and then he picks it up. And if he does, then it's a different story for the Saints. They can trade down in the draft and all of a sudden better their roster.
Currently, when Tyler Shough makes his start on Sunday, there will be 10 NFL quarterbacks younger than him still starting. Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Trevor Lawrence is younger than Tyler Shough. Doesn't it feel like Trevor Lawrence got a whole ass contract since he came into the league?
Jeez.
I mean, it's just like, I don't know. There's this part of it that always just seems so off to me. I was looking at this weekend. We've got our Circa Millions picks we got to make later in the week. Mm-hmm. I've decided the team I know the least about how good they are or how bad they are is the Texans. Because last week, we all made our selections, and I was like, Texans getting points or giving up points against the 49ers. What am I, an idiot? They're favored at home against the Denver Broncos this week, the 6-2 Denver Broncos. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound right either. Who have the Texans played? And then I realized they might have played the NFL's most difficult schedule. They lost to the Rams week 1 by 5, lost to the Bucks by 1 in a nail-biter. They've played the Jags, the Seahawks, and the 49ers. Almost every single team I've mentioned other than Jacksonville is actively in the playoff field. The two times they faced non-playoff teams, the Titans and the Ravens, they beat them up. They won 44-10 last week and 26-0 against the Titans. So are they... They're at the very least like a 10-win quality team. Maybe they won't get to 10 wins gold, but I think the Texans are maybe a little bit salter than I was thinking. And initially when I saw Texans-Broncos this weekend, I thought, layup, Broncos for the dub. And now I'm kind of thinking that the Texans might give them a little bit of a fight. Not saying they'll win, but I think it's going to be a closer game than we realize. Do you think the Texans are good?
I think CJ Stroud has been wildly inconsistent.
Yeah. It's definitely the defense that's keeping them in the hunt.
Defense is great.
For things. So mile 32, I'm going to go to Baltimore. It feels like, obviously, with Lamar Jackson being back, they play tonight. The next 4 weeks are going to really determine if they can still win the division. The next 4 weeks, they got the Dolphins tonight. Then they've got the Vikings on the road, the Browns on the road, and the Jets at home. Then the Bengals as well at home, and who knows where the Bengals will be at. It just feels like these next 4 to 5 weeks, if they're going to win the division...
They're winning a net there, yeah.
Between their schedule as well as the Steelers' schedule, which they're in the middle of that tougher stretch, Pittsburgh is, it feels like this is where Baltimore will gain that ground to either get back to even or whatever the case is to still win the AFC North.
I will say that, like, they are... You've mocked it. This is what makes me look bad. I had mocked the idea that they kept continuing to be the favorites to win the division. And then Drew was going over their schedule earlier, and I'm like, maybe the Ravens.
If they win tonight, and I think we all think they are.
And the Steelers lose to the Colts this weekend.
Do you
want to
know the Steelers remaining schedule in that time?
Yeah.
So the next 5 weeks, they got Colts, Chargers, Bengals, Bears, Bills, then Ravens.
So 3 out of 5, pretty tough. The other 3, 2, could be easy, could be harder, depending on who's playing.
Very much so. The next 4 to 5 weeks might actually determine what happens.
If you think the Ravens win tonight, if you think they're going to win tonight, and you're confident that they got enough corrected defensively, then you should be betting on the Ravens before kickoff tonight to win the AFC North.
Yeah. They're still minus money somehow. But at least they're minus money, not minus 2 or 300. They're still minus 110 or whatever the hell.
Minus 120 something.
Oh, okay.
Do you think tonight's game is close? They're playing the Dolphins. Tua have had 4 touchdowns last week. They shut down John Robinson a week ago. Lamar, when he's played, their offense in games they played, and they've combined total been 56 on average. So meaning their defense still isn't good.
Yeah.
But Lamar's offense, he can move the ball. That's why the total's high for the game. Like, I think Baltimore wins, but I don't know if they win, 28-7 because their defense isn't any good.
Make Miami make sense. They got blown out by the Cleveland Browns, but lost on a last-second field goal to the Chargers and then hammered the Falcons. Man, making me predict what the hell the Dolphins are going to do in any given week. My instinct is the Ravens will win comfortably. So congratulations, Miami, on the win, I guess. Because it just depends. Like, you want to talk about the most Jekyll and Hyde quarterback in the entire NFL. Can you tell me how Tua will play? If you could just give me a vague idea of what version of Tua Tagovailoa we get tonight, I'll tell you whether they win or not. Because I don't even think Mike McDaniel knows that. And he's his head coach.
Whole dynamic is really weird between Mike McDaniel and Tua. And then Tua talks, is doing a whole lot of talking. Even Vinny, from that athlete perspective, of course, you get is like, Vinny's
said,
like, man,
stop talking.
You just got to stop. It'll be better for everybody.
That's a lot coming from a current athlete. He's like, I like to talk to the media. He's like, I'm just telling you, man, you should stop talking to the media. I took that with a heavy thought process there, Goldman. Vinny said that about Tua.
Yeah. I was saying, how's the Ravens favorites? Steelers would have to have a pretty epic collapse. No, they're not that far. That's the issue with the Steelers. Epic collapse, they really wouldn't have to have. Here's why it doesn't have to be an epic collapse. If the Dolphins lose to the Ravens tonight, the Ravens would be 3-5. The Steelers have the Colts on Sunday. People think they're going to lose. I guess they could win, but they're the favorites. So let's just say the Steelers would fall to 4-4. the Ravens would be a game back. I don't know what the tiebreaker stuff. They'd be a game back.
I think a half game because of the buys.
Like, so no, it doesn't even require an epic collapse. What hurt them was two Thursdays ago, Pittsburgh lost to Cincinnati, and then they turned around and lost to Green Bay the other night.
Yep.
They lost two in a row, and they're probably going to lose three in a row. So actually, I guess epic collapse losing three in a row, sure, but it's from this point forward, it doesn't really take much of an epic collapse.
If they win, it's just as simple as if the Steelers, who are, like you said, an underdog this Sunday, lose, which isn't that crazy, and they win tonight, and they're favored to beat Miami by, they're like minus 400 on the money line to win tonight. So if for some reason those things happen, then yeah, they're epic in it. Although I will say, if I were betting a side of this, I would be taking like Miami money line at plus like 350, I think is very good value for a team that could just randomly show up and against a Ravens defense that I'm not sure they've solved other problems. Don't forget that we will be at Community America tomorrow, 1800 Northwest South Outer Road, for another Red Friday tailgate. Free food to the first 100 people. Take photos with Chiefs cheerleaders and KC Wolf. Chiefs Rumble will be performing. Plus, it's Halloween. They say come with a costume or not. They will have candy for trick-or-treaters, face painters available for your kids as well. Plus, you might be able to score tickets to that Chiefs and Colts game at Arrowhead thanks to Community America's big ATM. So come on out. See us at the Red Friday tailgate tomorrow at Community America in Blue Springs.
Up next, let's talk a little fantasy football. Paul Charchian will join us to tell us Joe Flacco's top 10 fantasy quarterback at this point in time. Is he going to play on Sunday? And what do you do with Lamar Jackson's return tonight for fantasy? What does it mean for the rest of the roster?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required. Just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know him to break him.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
Oster, that's next. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 15 minutes. Hanging out on a Thursday. It is Cody and Gold. You guys can interact with the show as you guys have been doing, as always, on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. It is just nice to see the sun is actually out. It does exist. I felt like for 4 days, I wasn't sure if it did. Weather's looking good. It's back in Kansas City. Going to be a nice weekend and hope to see you guys out at a remote tomorrow at Community America Credit Union. Let's talk a little fantasy football, though, with Paul Charchian, who's been doing this with us since we started the show and going back before us as well. One of the best in the business when it comes to fantasy football. And he's brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. All right, Charch, good to have you back, man. Joe Flacco, a little banged up, I know, but he's been sneaky in fantasy football.
He's been really shockingly good. By the way, we go back to Henry Lake.
Yeah.
John Hansen. I mean, yeah, the old days. Yeah, absolutely. Just talked to both of those guys recently, too.
Good dudes.
Yeah, we love them. Flacco's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback since his trade to Cincinnati, which is amazing. You mentioned shoulder injury. He says he wants to play through it. We'll see how this shapes up during the week. But if he goes, he may be facing a Bears secondary this weekend, missing all three starting cornerbacks. They're going to miss two for sure. And then there are two of them on IR. Tyreek Stevenson's status still up in the air. What he's done with Ja'Marr Chase has been historic. 42 targets the past 2 weeks. That is an NFL record for consecutive game targets. Would you care to guess Alex Cody, whose record he broke, had 40 targets in two games?
I would have said somebody like Puka or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, that would have been my guess.
That would have been a good guess, actually. Brandon Marshall, which was not on my radar.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, Brandon Marshall, sure. All right, why not? Ja'Marr Chase. So potentially, it's amazing. If you ever, in a endless series of demonstrations why the quarterback position is so important. We absolutely love Joe Flacco in this offense, but all you have to do is take Joe Flacco out of this Cincinnati offense and, you know, put Jake Browning in, and now all of a sudden it feels like a Bears win, and you don't feel good about starting T. Higgins anymore, and, you know, even Ja'Marr Chase you'd start him, but you're not sure. But with Joe Flacco, it's green light for everybody.
What about at the running back spot? Look, Charge, I'm hurt kind of across the league, so that happens sometimes, yeah. And you just suffer through it. We all enjoyed picking up Rico Dowdle. Then they did the one game where they like did half to half, and Dowdle was still the better running back. Hubbard got all the money, and I think that the team itself doesn't know what to do. Are we starting both guys? Are we just benching Hubbard? Do we trade him? Like, do we just stash him as a handcuff in case something happens with Dowdle if you happen to have both?
Sure. Try to for Hubbard. They announced Rico as the starter.
Yeah.
So good for them. It's merit based. You know, Dowdle's been great. Over the last month, he's averaging 7 yards per carry. You can't bench that when you're the Carolina Panthers. I mean, you need that. So they got the right guy in. I'm not saying Rico Dowdle's so good that he's never going to give up that job, but if I've got Chuba Hubbard, I'm going to try to trade him for anything. And if I can't trade him, I'm just going to drop him. I don't need the handcuff runner on the sixth worst scoring offense. And Hubbard just hasn't looked good. I mean, it was a great story last year. He looked way better last year. And I don't know if he's played hurt all season, what his deal is, but it's Rico Dowdle's job now. And I think all that Chuba Hubbard's doing on your roster is burning a spot. There are way better handcuffs out there. I'd let him go.
Somebody that has been disappointing, to say the least, in his sophomore year is down in Jacksonville. That's Brian Thomas Jr. There was even some trade noise out there. On one of the guillotine leagues I'm in, he was available pretty cheap. I still picked him up, but I'm not starting him. Where are we at with Brian Thomas in fantasy football?
Can't start him. Now, they're coming up by this week, but a reminder, 2 weeks ago, last Jaguars game, Travis Hunter got the big uptick, and his usage was surging, and he made good on that. Meanwhile, Brian Thomas has 6 drops this year. His drop percentage is 18%. I mean, imagine 1 out of 5 balls is thrown accurately at you and you don't catch them in the NFL. That is staggeringly bad. We don't know the full story on Thomas. We know he's been dinged up with a variety of small injuries, but not enough that he hasn't been on the field. And it's not come together. And now Travis Hunter may well be the go-to receiver in that offense. And it would take a lot for the Jags to trade him, although there is talk out there, and Leon Cohen says he's not going to be traded, but coaches lie all the time, so maybe he will be. The way this is shaped up, looking at Brian Thomas, the body language, he looks disinterested, the dropped passes, it's not dialed in. The kid was so good last year, and there aren't that many examples that I can think of, or even really any, of a player who looked as good as he did in the second half of last year and then just rolled into the next season and just played dead. But that's what we've got out of Brian Thomas right now.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, there's been a couple of receivers this year that, like, were monster fantasy players last year. And look, that's the way fantasy works sometimes. You draft Chase Brown and you should have had J.K. Dobbins the entire time, you know? And I guess that's one of those guys that I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. Are we just locked in? J.K. Dobbins, good the rest of the way. I know Harvey had two touchdowns, but unless he gets hurt, J.K. Dobbins is going to be the lead back.
J.K. Dobbins is the lead back. Harvey, where Harvey is, has done almost all his damage, has been, and by that I mean like two good games. It's been garbage time of blowouts. And that's probably not coming in this epic matchup. It's a great matchup coming up. Broncos-Texans, arguably the two best defenses in the NFL, and I think unarguably the two best pass defenses in the NFL. I mean, these are fantastic teams that, and both of them have had pretty easy matchups lately, so their offenses have been rolling, and now they get the exact opposite. So we've got some really fun, difficult matchups for Broncos-Texans, including J.K. Dobbins. I mean, the way you beat the Texans is on the ground, but they've been really good there too. But Dobbins has been great. As for Chase Brown, because you alluded him, and I just want to segue for a minute. I was very high on him going into the season. If Joe Burrow had stayed the quarterback, he would have been really good, just like he's been with Joe Flacco. It's all about quarterback. And, you know, as long as Joe Flacco's there, Chase Brown remains a totally viable fantasy asset.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Joe Flacco made everyone on the Bengals startable again. Like, there wasn't a single Bengal I wanted to play there for a long time, and then apparently it was just Jake Browning stinks.
And how about this other angle as well, Cody? He was quarterback 28 through five starts with Cleveland. 28, fantasy quarterback 28. And then he goes to the Bengals, he's fantasy quarterback 9. I love Kevin Stefanski. I think he is a good coach. And maybe it's just because it's Jerry Jeudy and Isaiah Bond instead of Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, but the fact that the Browns got so little out of Joe Flacco, who clearly still had plenty in the tank and plenty to give, it's kind of an indictment for Kevin Stefanski.
Charge, I would put this more on Atlanta's offensive coordinator, but Bijan didn't do anything against the Dolphins last week. I just thought it was a bad game plan and the way they used him after using him incredibly the week before. So who the hell knows? Are we expecting a big game from Derrick Henry tonight? Thursday night football or, you know, Keaton Mitchell, whoever, you know?
Well, yeah, Keaton, he's a little bit on radar right now. Henry, so it's Baltimore and Miami tonight. Miami had that big game, as you alluded to, against Bijan. I agree completely. I think that was all on the Falcons. Kirk Cousins looked feeble. We probably see Miami revert to form. Every single game for Miami's run defense before Bijan last week, they'd allowed the top runner to either score a touchdown or top 98 yards, or do both in every game all year.
That's not great. So, no, it's great for fantasy.
It is great for fantasy. And Derrick Henry, you know, you were going to start him anyway. But if you're John Harbaugh, you'd love to ease in Lamar Jackson back onto the field. He missed three games with a hamstring injury. It's a short week. I mean, if they can get away with not running Lamar Jackson a lot, that would be great. They can get away with not having him pass. And they will do this sometimes where they'll just run Henry, and Lamar Jackson will throw 21 passes. And that might be what we see coming tonight if they can get Henry going.
Tua is coming off a 4-touchdown game. What are we thinking there at this point in time with Tua and his performance last week?
He's been all over the place. Some great games, some terrible games for Tua. We're only 2 weeks removed from having an awful game.
But Baltimore's defense has been susceptible. That always is tempting.
It has. Now, here's the difference, though. So Baltimore's pass defense was awful through the first 5 weeks of the season. But they were also missing almost their entire secondary. And then they go and bye. Last week, they come back healthy, and they put Caleb Williams in a grinder last week. This Ravens team is back to being healthy on defense, and I don't think this Tua matchup is nearly as good as it looks like on paper when you look at the stats from everything the Ravens were giving up when they were missing all three starting cornerbacks and Kyle Hamilton was hurt. Now they're all back, and I think the Ravens go back to being a much, much better defense.
I'll give our Twitch chat credit. They said, "Oh, convenient. The FBI starts investigating point shave, and all of a sudden Tua's good again." You know, just trying to immediately give him credit. I was like, "Have you not watched that man? He's an inconsistent quarterback."
He is. I love, man, your team, the Chiefs. Every call that goes for the other team, you guys, it's just social media lights up. So you're living it every day.
Yeah.
Is it frustrating for you guys to see all the chatter from the perceived advantages that referees give the Chiefs?
I mean, my problem is that, Charge, now it's turned into plays that we know were penalties. Like, they spun around and threw Mahomes, and I'm like, they don't let anybody get away with that. That's just like, normally we call those boneheaded plays, right? Like a defender's got to know better plays. Now I just got to fight those. You know what? And my retort has regularly been for the last year, this is what you should feel bad about. Either the Chiefs are paying the referees in order to do it, or the league is fixing it. If your quarterback was better or had more money, then maybe they'd fix it for you. What do I care?
That's fantastic. If you don't like the fixing, you should fix better.
Yeah, dig in your pockets. Your owners are cheap
your
asses.
Opponents.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Sad what happened with Isaiah Pacheco. I thought he was running. We had finally gotten Pacheco back, where I thought he was running with his trademark aggression. I loved what I had been seeing. And this is a bummer that it looks like he's going to miss how long? Like a month?
Yeah, with the bye week, it might end up being that. I think there's a chance he misses two or three games.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Let's hope Rashard Smith can do something special with this opportunity. You know, I'm really excited to see more what he can bring to the table.
Wait on fantasy purposes unless it's full point PPR. But in the meantime, just see what plays out.
Yeah, let's play that out. And I think if you are in a pinch, Rashard Smith is, you know, if you're just like, if you're only looking for 8 PPR points, Rashard Smith is in that conversation. You're like, just don't give me a 0. Don't give me like a 3. Rashard Smith's going to get enough activity where I think you can throw him in a lineup and figure he's going to get 4 catches, 40 receiving yards. That's 8 PPR points. And then he's going to run the ball. What do you think? With Pacheco out, he runs the ball 5-6 times?
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that. You know, there's 20, 30 more yards. And, you know, there's your 10-point PPR day for him, for Rashard Smith. Not the worst pivot. The best pivot of the day, if you're stressed at running back, it's Bam Knight against Dallas.
Yeah.
That's the guy to go get. I like that angle right there.
Yeah, I'm relying on him in a couple leagues this week, and that is for sure. Paul Charchi, and our fantasy football expert here on 96.5 The Fan. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks. We'll talk to you guys next week.
There you go. Charch joins us, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. Yeah, who would have thought that Bam Knight would be somebody that people would be talking about in October 30th of the football season?
You know, fantasy takes a lot of twists and turns, so sometimes you just got to prepare accordingly.
Random question.
Random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. Remember, you can always hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. Like and subscribe. Pop to the top of your feed. Plus, we interact with you over on the chats as well. 913-586-7965. Gold, you are getting ready to head out of town next week.
Yes, yes.
As a result of that, you have requested today's random question as part of your vacation planning. We do that sometimes. We help each other out in the random question occasionally. What do you need to know from the people?
I was asking you during a break yesterday, and you said, let's bring it to the people. So I said, all right, that works. I was asking you, I said, out of these activities, which one would you rather do? And that the options were or are swim with pigs.
I mean, that one is intriguing at the very least.
Stingray feeding, swim with dolphins, or swim with sea lions. These are my options next week when I'm out of town.
Okay, so I think everyone's initial instinct is going to say swim with dolphins.
That is what I'm leaning toward.
I kind of feel like that's what everyone's done. Lots of people have swam Lots of people have swam with a dolphin. I feel like it's sweet. Am I crazy for thinking it's swim with pigs?
So they're these wild pigs.
Stingray would be
fun,
but you could do that at the aquarium at Kansas City. Yeah. Right? You could go feed a stingray now or pet a stingray, whatever.
I'll tell you the one that's least likely for me to do is the stingray feeding.
Don't want to get stung?
Well,
I can do it at the zoo here. I can do the Kansas City zoo.
Can do it there, and like you can snorkel in the same area of the stingrays. And I don't know how they made sure that it's safe. I have no idea. Otherwise, yeah, I feel like Steve Irwin all over again or something. So I'm not doing that one. It is, for me, it's kind of down to the sea lions or the dolphins. The pigs are intriguing, but also like I want to just be in the ocean with pigs.
It seems like a much more silly, fun experience. Text line, first text came in, said swim with dolphins, no brainer, dolphins all day.
Yeah.
The others put you in danger. The pigs are putting me in danger? They look like
what are the pigs?
They don't look that big.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the pigs like fighting me. I just don't know if I want to swim with pigs.
It's a mixed bag. Pigs 100%. Yeah. Someone said the stingrays, it's fun as hell, and they will let you hold them if possible. Somebody says, saw someone with horrible infections swimming with pigs. Maybe they're just saying that, though. Well, who knows? Someone says, I swam with dolphins. I cannot recommend highly enough. It's incredible is the way they do
it. Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm leaning. The sea lions could be fun, too. I've watched some videos.
I don't know, man, the pit ones look fun.
I've watched some videos on all the activities in the place I'm going, and they all look incredible. I just think the dolphins, like, one of the things the dolphins do, like, they do where they like the dolphin, like, essentially, like, throws you, like, or, you know, like what's, I don't know what the right term is.
Oh, like, I'm a person at SeaWorld that has tossed you out of the sky?
Well, like, you'll be able, and, like, you can, like, essentially, like, they'll
surf?
Like, on a... is it boogie board or whatever? Yeah. But like the dolphin will push that, and like, so you're like, that kind of stuff seems fun.
I know, but imagine the pigs do something.
What? No, I think the pigs just
in the water.
I think the pigs just want you to hold a kebab and feed them, and then just and you can hug them in the water. The dolphins you can hug, you can play. You know, the sea lions I think would be fun as well. The stingray again is the one thing that's off limits for me. I'm like, that doesn't do much for me.
The sea lion is the only one that nobody on the text line and nobody on Twitter or YouTube has mentioned.
Okay.
Over on Twitch. DJ Freestyle says dolphins, yes,
okay.
All exclamation points. Over on Drop Chalk on YouTube says, got to be careful with the dolphins. They can get frisky. Now they're worrying you of, like, you're going to get assaulted.
What?
On it. So, and someone says, what? No sharks? Question mark. Would you do that in the cage?
Hell no. There is another activity.
No, so fast.
There is an activity there, not the cage thing. That's crazy. Never happening. There is another one, like some other type of shark where you can swim with them, but I'm hard pass.
Benjamin over on YouTube says swimming with pigs is lame. All you do is feed them carrots and watch them poop in the ocean. Dolphins all day.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking on the pigs.
I mean, the dolphins probably also use the restroom in the ocean.
I don't see it.
Are you sure? I don't know how that works.
I don't think I would see it.
I don't know about the biology of dolphin poop as it relates
to
that.
That's one of the things they teach you. It's a whole hour-long thing.
It's an hour?
Yeah, the one I was looking at. I think there's slots for up to 10 people.
Okay.
And you go, like, you go out to this lagoon area, and then they take you out to another part, like a different island, private island thing to do, like the other
part.
I'm
going to let you substitute teach when you come back. Tell us all you learned about.
I will.
Pigs in the ocean or dolphins in the ocean, right?
The favorite of the clubhouse is dolphins. Drew, has anybody done any of this? Like on the
I've done any of these things. I've pet the stingrays at the zoo. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I fed and pet the stingrays there.
I mean, I haven't.
Multiple people said the stingrays is a lot of fun. Text line is saying that they've done it before and it's great. What were you saying, Drew? You've never done any of it?
No, technically not. I mean, I've been close to dolphins in like the actual ocean before, but not intentionally going to swim with them. No, my parents have. They've done, what did they do? I think they did the stingray one. I don't know where you're going, Gold, but they did a stingray type of thing where they fed stingrays and stuff, and they enjoyed it. But I don't know. I would definitely lean dolphins. I think it's the play. Yeah.
It's like coming to Kansas City and be like, what should I get to eat? And everyone just says, like, well, barbecue, right?
I will say.
Not that there isn't other excellent food in the city. There is. But if you're just saying, this is Gold's one chance or the one time in life he's going to choose to swim with an animal in the ocean, a dolphin's a pretty classic one.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do think that people would ask, like, out of all the things, you would get more questions asked, Cody, if you did the pig thing. Obviously, there's so many more questions from that.
If Gold was, like, saying, I want to put a new photo up. I'm going to pop up the old dating app and I'm putting a new profile photo up. I would borderline guarantee you, having never used an app and have been not single forever, I would think, Drew, you would be more likely to get an interaction of you in the ocean with a bunch of pigs than you in the ocean with a dolphin. I just think it's instantly a more interesting conversation. I'm doing this, I guess, for the experience is one, but I do some things in life because I think it makes for an interest. Like, I got on the blimp because it's just an interesting thing to have done.
Yeah, like,
I think, like, that's all. I do things for, like, the stories.
If I had already swam with dolphins, I think then I would be right there with you. I'd say, why not do the swimming with the pig thing? But I would say that's third on my list right now. I didn't even know swimming with the pigs was a thing until I started researching this.
No, I didn't.
I didn't know it was a thing until you guys just mentioned it.
But it's very known where I'm, like, where I'm going is it's very.
Do they take you to, like, an island?
The Bahamas, by the way. People keep asking. Yeah, the Bahamas. So there's some right on site at the resort, and then there's some that take you to a little separate island thing to do.
It just, like, has all the.
There's like a couple companies that are right there on site that you obviously can get a reserve or whatever and do. And
so you get a choice.
That's where we're at.
Sounds like it'd be a nice trip, you know? Let us know what you decide.
The dolphin's the least riskiest?
I think they all have probably enough safeguards.
I'm not worried about that.
I'll be honest. That saying safe. That, and then it I'm turns fine. Out Gold knocked out unconscious with headbutt from Dolphin.
Look, that would be wild.
Be a great story.
Yeah.
As long as you're fine.
You have a life vest on. There's other people around. I'm not too worried. Since Gold is so secretive. Where are you going? Bahamas.
He just said. Well, they're probably behind. Oh, okay. On the text line.
Bahamas. I mean, I'm not gonna. I'll text you the room number. I mean, I'm going to the Bahamas.
Say the resort. Give us your flight information.
It's the same thing as earlier. Like the morning show is giving me a hard time. I was on with Bob and Dusty. Obviously, I do the betting segment with them, and we were talking about dating and stuff. And they were like, asking, do I have like place normal like date spots, first date spots? And I said, yeah. I don't want to list out all the spots. I just don't want people to know. And they're like, are you too important? I thought that. I go, no. I don't want to share exactly where I go on dates. So when we talk on the show, which we do, about a date, I don't want somebody
knowing you're on a date.
That's it. Anyway, they thought I. Anyway, that they're. But did you hear Dusty's impression? By the way, what did you make?
No, I didn't hear.
Yeah, he had an impression of me. What do you think?
Can we hear
this guy? The question as well, but I can already hear him say it's not going to be a blowout. There's just no way it's going to be a blowout by the Chiefs.
Why does he make you sound like Braj?
I have no idea. The last part was what he thought.
He's got way too much California.
There's just no way it's going to be a blowout by the Chiefs.
He sounds like Spicoli. Why? That's not what you sound like.
That was his.
Of Dusty's many impressions, I would say
his bank one's the best. His bank one's the best. But yeah,
I would say that one.
Someone says, "I hope you're not going to Jamaica." Well, obviously, yeah. Unfortunately, that was terrible. That was terrible.
Horrible.
Cody, are you going to go and visit the 816? Did you know there's blimp hangars? You can go and visit a hangar. There's a massive one outside of LA.
I did my blimp experience. They told me at the time there are 13 blimps in all of the world, is what they told me when I got on the subway one, and only 7 of which are like active blimps that you can fly in.
So they retire the blimps?
I just don't think there's that many blimps that fly. It's an impractical method of flight. You're just a giant balloon.
I'm just saying,
we have jets and stuff. We don't need blimps.
I'm just saying, if you became like a blimp connoisseur, then I feel like this is a place that you would go and visit this place.
Easily one of the most awkward moments of my life was all these people talking about everywhere they'd come from across the country to be on this blimp. This lady talked about it like she was like, since I was in war-torn Poland in the 30s, it's been my dream to be on a blimp. And I was like, I just said I'll do it. oh God, I've made this so awkward for everyone. I just thought this would be pretty funny to get on this blimp. So my story sucked by comparison.
All right, that is the random question of the day. Up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. We've got a new lesson from Professor Tapp. And one thing that is happening all across the NFL, we think we know what's causing it. We'll see if you guys agree next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.